that if you're gonna lead somebody to Christ, it's not a human work. It's not a work that you do in the flesh, but it's a work that's done in the power of God.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Praying for the Lost. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Praying for the Lost.
Doing a series dealing with evangelism, and we've been talking about rekindling the fire of evangelism. And so we have been on a journey over the last month. This is the last message in this series. And we said that in order for a fire to take place, that there are three components, and that is the fuel, the air, and the heat. And we said the same thing as far as evangelism is concerned, that whenever you want to rekindle the fire of evangelism, there has to be fuel. And we know that the fuel is the gospel. And the gospel is the what? And what is the good news? Amen. You know what? If you don't get anything else out of this series, if you got that, I feel that my mission has been accomplished. Amen. And then we said that the air is the Holy Spirit, that he breathes breath into the life of the gospel, but we need the heat, we need the fire, we need the passion, and that's where you come in at. And so we're going to talk about that passion a little bit more this morning, if you'll go to that next slide. So the first week, we dealt with fanning the embers of evangelism. The second week, we dealt with understanding the gospel. The third week, we talked about the believer's role in evangelism. The fourth week, we talked about presenting the gospel to the unbeliever. And then last week, we talked about models of evangelism. And then we dealt a little bit with hindrances to evangelism. Today, we want to talk about praying for the lost. And this is the passion. Again, the fire, the air, and the passion, the heat. This is where you come in at today as we talk about praying for the lost. As we continue on, go ahead and advance that slide, that we need to understand the power of intercessory prayer, that as you pray, and I had little arrows going up, I guess they're not coming up on the slide, that as you pray to the Father in heaven, this is what happens. Somebody says, well, what good does it do to pray? I'm getting ready to show you what good it does to pray. That when you pray to the Father in heaven, what does he do? He unleashes his power from heaven. And what is the power that he unleashes? He unleashes the power of love upon the lost individual. He unleashes the power of conviction, and we're going to talk about that today. He unleashes the power of circumstances. He'll put them in circumstances where they will be confronted with the gospel. And he will release the power of a witness, that somebody will come and share the good news with him. And see, when you don't pray, God can still work and God can still do things. But as it's been said many times before, no prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. So you see, the more the saints are praying for the unbeliever, the more God is releasing his power in their life. And again, I'm going to show you that this morning. I have living testimony. Man, I tell you what, if you don't get excited and fired up about praying for lost folk, then something is wrong with your spirit this morning. All right? Because we want to fire you up. So this is the power of intercessory prayer. Next slide. J. Oswald Sanders, who is a man that we've used his book. We went through his book one time on spiritual leadership. But J. Oswald Sanders, who was a great evangelist, soul winner, he says this: prayer must ever occupy a preeminent place in the soul winner's program. For the salvation of the soul is, look at this, Look at this. It's not a human, but a divine work. That if you're gonna lead somebody to Christ, it's not a human work. It's not a work that you do in the flesh, but it's a work that's done in the power of God. One of my favorite people, the Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Spurgeon, who was a great evangelistic preacher, the Prince of Preachers, he says this. He appealed to the lost by crying out. He said, "If then you will be damned, let me have this one thing as a consolation for your misery, that you are not damned." Oh man, this is powerful. This is powerful. That you are not damned for a lack of calling after, you are not lost for a lack of weeping after, and you are not lost for a lack of praying after. That if somebody is going to be damned and go to hell, don't let it be because they weren't prayed for. Don't let it be because you didn't weep over your soul. You know, I said a couple of weeks ago, I'm appealing to mothers today, that it seems to me that you carry your child around, most ladies, for 9 months. There was a connection with that child. And even after that child was born and came into this earth, that you stayed connected, and that connection became even stronger. And I would say, man, a mother that has a child that's lost, man, if nobody else, now I'm saying dad should too, so you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying dad shouldn't, but I'm saying, man, if anybody should be crying out for the soul of their children that's lost, it should be a mother. Man, as Spurgeon says here, don't let your child go to hell because there's been a lack of calling after, that there's not been a lack of weeping after, and there's not been a lack of praying after. John Hyde, and if any of you ever want to read a testimony about a powerful missionary, read the life of John Hyde, that he was called to be a missionary to India. And one of the things that John Hyde said is that he said, "Oh God, give me souls or I die." He got the name known as Praying Hyde because it said that he would rent apartments above bars in India. And all night long while people were partying and having a good time, that John Hyde would be up in the upper room praying for their soul, crying out for God to touch them and for God to save souls. In 1908, he was anguished by the sight of sin and souls doomed to hell. He asked the Lord to bring a soul a day into the kingdom of God. Soon, he upped it to 2 souls and then to 4 souls. And you know what? God answered his prayer. And Hyde died in his 40s, and he had heart complications. And somebody was giving a testimony and say that he got sick when he was in India and he had to come back to America where they could take care of him. And it just seemed like he died because there was just so much strain on his life. And when you think about the heart and the passion that he had for souls and the strain that was put upon him because he had a desire to see people come to Christ, how much more should we, as God's people, have a passion for the lost, have a desire to see souls come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The power of prayer. The power of prayer. Look at your notes that have been passed out. Prayer can knock down the fortresses that are built around the human heart to resist the gospel. Prayer warrior S.D. Gordon, addressing the results of intercessory prayer, said, "Our prayer is God's opportunity to get into the world that would shut him out." The power of prayer. I told you I had some testimonies today. One of our dear saints, and I've probably shared this before, one of our dear saints, Dolores Howard. Many of you probably remember Dolores. She passed away several years ago. She would come to the hour of power every Tuesday afternoon. And she would pray for her husband, Clarence. Every day, every Tuesday, she would come and pray for Clarence. And I remember a couple times I got invited to go over, and I went over there. And every time I would come, Clarence would find a reason to go out into the backyard. And he would never stay in there. He would greet me, but then he would go out into the backyard. But every Tuesday, his wife prayed for his soul. And I remember Sister Dolores went home to be with the Lord. And when she went home to be with the Lord, one of our deaconesses, Sister Princess Bradford, had the opportunity to lead Clarence Howard to Christ. And he was over 90 years old. Over 90 years old. And Brother Clarence, when he gave his heart to the Lord at over 90 years old, he was in a wheelchair. And every Sunday, he would come in, they would wheel him in this door, and he would sit at the in the last row, and he would be here every Sunday until he couldn't come anymore. Brother Clarence was so serious about his faith, so serious about his salvation, that he wanted to follow up with believers' baptism. And so we had baptism, and Brother Clarence was not able to get down into the pool. But praise God, we turned Presbyterian Methodist on that day. Because I was able to take water and sprinkle it on his head and baptize him because he wanted to follow his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Brother Howard passed away last year. And I can truly say that when he closed his eyes in death, to be absent from the body was to be present with the Lord. And not only did he wake up in the presence of the Lord, but that wife, his wife, Dolores, who prayed for that man for years and years and years, he was reunited with her. I'm talking about the power of prayer this morning. I'm talking about the power of intercessory prayer, praying for the lost. So if we're going to have this burden to pray for the lost, the first thing that we need to have is that we need to have a heartfelt desire, and I see right there that word desire is spelled wrong, but you can correct it on your notes. A heartfelt desire for their salvation. Let's look at a couple scriptures today, and I'm moving as quick as I can this morning, saints. I'm moving as quick as I can. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Verse 1, Paul said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not willing to give my salvation up for anybody. You know, I'm saved, sanctified, on my way to heaven. And I got mine. I'm going to try to get you yours, but I'm not going to give up mine to get yours. But Paul said, for I wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He said that I would take on the loss of my salvation if my brothers in Christ, my Jewish brothers in Christ, would come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Look at chapter 10 in verse 1. Chapter 10. In verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He had a passion for the salvation of others. If you are going to pray for the lost, you have to have a passion in your heart. When was the last time that you cried out for somebody in your family without the Savior? When was the last time that you had a burden in your soul for somebody that was lost? See, a burden turns into prayer. Paul said, my soul, my heart's desire for my brethren is that they might be saved. And not only do you have to have a heartfelt desire for their salvation, but you need to be steadfast in prayer. You know, you need to be like Sister Dolores Howard. She prayed for her husband until the day that she went home to glory. You need to be steadfast in prayer. Look at the notes. A determination to be steadfast in prayer. The psalmist spoke of steadfastness in prayer for souls when he wrote, and Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Now, let me just say this, because this was a psalm that was written when Israel returned from captivity, and it was talking about the ones who had returned back to the homeland. And as they prayed and as they cried, that they would see others come back from captivity. So I want to give you the context, but I'm going to take that context and put it in the context of praying for the soul of a loved one. He says here, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I said that in evangelism, we don't get stressed out, we don't get burned out, because we only have two jobs. And our job is to plant the seed and to water the seed. It's God that's going to give the increase. And so the psalmist says that if we plant in tears, that if, when we plant those seeds, if we water those seeds with our prayers, if we water those seeds with crying out to God, that Deacon Hart, go back to that one graph that I had there of the person praying and the power coming down right there. That if we will go forth and weep and pray over our lost loved ones, God will send his power of love down. God will send his power of conviction down. God will bring circumstances in their life that will drive them to a point where they have to make a decision about Christ. If we pray, God will send people in their life to witness to them. And the more we pray, I believe the more the arm of God will work. And so the prerequisite is that you have to have a heartfelt compassion and burden for lost souls, and then you have to be steadfast in prayer. If you'll go to the next slide. So we talked about the program is prayer, the prerequisites, we talked about that. Now let me just wrap up with the program for praying for the lost. How do you pray for the lost? Well, and you can read these scriptures. They're all here. So I'm not going to take the time to read the scriptures this morning, but they are here. The first thing that you can do is pray for them to have a confrontation with God. In Acts chapter 9 and verses 1 through 6, the Apostle Paul was on the Damascus Road. He was going about his merry business. He was going to snatch Christians out of the churches and persecute them. And on the way, he had a confrontation with God. God stopped him at noonday, blinded the man, and he asked Christ. He submitted his life to Jesus Christ. And sometimes when we pray, we need to pray for God to do whatever he needs to do to bring them to a point. I mean, I'd rather see, as the Apostle Paul, he was blinded for a little while. He got his sight back. I'm sure Paul would have rather been blinded for a little while than to be lost forever. And so he had a confrontation with God. Let me tell you about Norman Givens, a good friend of mine in Lynchburg, Virginia, preacher, going around preaching in churches all throughout Central Virginia. Brother Norman Givens, he was in New York. His wife got saved, and she moved to Lynchburg, Virginia. And she started praying for him, because Norman loved to take drugs. He loved to party. He stayed high all the time. And his wife prayed for him. And one night, his wife got a call, and it was Norman. And she said that, "I see God sent one of your angels to me tonight." And he gave his testimony how that he was stoned on a New York subway, And he woke up just in time for somebody to come by. And I told you that 1 week about them tracks. For somebody to come by long enough and hand him a track. He took the track, read it, and right there on that subway, gave his life to Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the power of prayer today. That his wife was praying for him. Here she was in Lynchburg, Virginia, and she was praying for him in New York City. Don't tell me that God don't hear the prayers when you pray for loved ones that are lost. And so pray that they might have a confrontation with God. Pray for them to have their eyes open. Paul said that the God of this world has blinded their eyes that they should not see the light of the glorious gospel. So let me tell you about me, right? I grew up. You know what? I knew that Jesus Christ died on the cross. I knew that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I knew that growing up. I knew that in my teen years. I knew that into my early adult life. But you know what? There was a disconnect somewhere. There was a block because I knew it. But somehow I didn't see that I needed to apply it to myself. And so one night in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, over in Turtle Creek, Pastor Berkeley invited me to go to church with him. And that night I went forward and the preacher shared with me the gospel. And it's like I heard somebody say, I got down on my knees and I prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. And I don't know when I got up. I don't know when I got up. But you know what? I've been up ever since. Been up ever since. So pray that God would open their eyes to the light of the gospel. Pray for them to be loose from the things that bind them. Like the rich young ruler. He had a hard time giving his life to Christ because he had so many things. He had so many possessions, and these things had him all bound up. And unless he was willing to loose himself, and that's not to say that you got to be poor to get into the kingdom. No, these things were holding him back from coming into the kingdom. And he had to be willing to let them go. And many of our loved ones, many of our relatives, they don't want to come to Christ. They don't want to give their life to Christ because they are bound up by some things. It might be riches. It might be drugs. It might be alcohol. It might be their own intellect that's binding them and not freeing them to go receive Christ as their Savior. And so there's something that's holding them back. And you might need to pray, God, release them from what it is that has them chained. God, release them from what it is that has them bound. Pray for them to be loosed. Pray for them to be exposed to the gospel. Romans 10, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That they have to hear the gospel. They have to hear the word of God to be saved. Pray for them to be exposed to the gospel. So Lorenzo Ruff, who was a pastor, and he's pastored several churches in the Virginia area. Lorenzo Ruff, I had the opportunity to license him to preach the gospel. Lorenzo, his wife, Mary Ann, and his mother-in-law, Martha, went to church every Sunday, and they prayed for Lorenzo. And Lorenzo had a Corvette, and he just rode around the community in his Corvette on Sunday morning. Oh, he was living large. He was living big. And his wife and his mother-in-law prayed for him when they went to church Sunday, Wednesday night.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Praying for the Lost. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Praying for the Lost, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Praying for the Lost. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Praying for the Lost. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.